One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're elves.
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 Oh, Santa.
Welcome to our workshop where, like every week, and not just Christmas, we're putting together a salad toy for you.
The worst toy.
The worst kind of toy.
Can you imagine being a kid and just like opening a present and it's salad? It's a soggy box.
It's like that. Have you seen that YouTube video of the kid who opens his present and it's a banana and he's yes. so excited? And it just like makes me long for like that kind of joy and innocence and something so simple.
Hopefully we can bring that sense of joy and innocence in a simple song salad song to you today, listener.
And what is a song salad?
A song salad is when we take a random genre of music and combine it with a random topic in the form of an article from Wikipedia and make it into a song.
We do.
And our very advanced randomization machine is powered by you, listeners, with your salad spinner suggestions.
That's a sound effect or an impression or just a noise suggestion that comes from you. Today's salad spinner is
Vince.
Vince Colosimo at V_C on Twitter.
My favorite mailman. And he says, some sort of video game sound effect, whatever that means to you. So we will spin the salad spinner to get our random genre by making a video game sound effect.
Okay. I don't play a ton of video games.
Weird. Wouldn't expect that from you.
Yeah.
I think you should go first because apparently you don't know what video game sound effects sound like.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go first. Here we go. Bwok, bwok.
You could have literally done any noise. And that's what you went with.
You know, it's like when whenever you like bump into something that you're not supposed to hit.
Oh, bwok, bwok.
You know, block, block.
Spin.
Spin. Brr. It's cold in here.
Is that a chill in the air?
There's a chill wave in the air.
Ooh, waving right at us.
Chill wave.
It's chill wave.
Do you know anything about chill wave?
You know, I don't. And what it initially makes me think it might be.
Yeah.
Is similar to shoegaze.
Mm.
We know that shoegaze from a previous episode is kind of like mellow, introspective, indie,
dreamy
pop. Dreamy pop. Yeah. Yeah. So I assume chillwave is a similar sound.
Okay. I mean, maybe.
But that's just pure conjecture.
Yeah. I know absolutely nothing about chillwave because okay. I have no chill. So.
No, you don't. You can wave your chill goodbye.
Let's find out about chillwave.
Yeah. So, time period. Late 2000s.
Sooner in the past than I would have thought.
Yeah. A lot of these indie rock, indie pop genres that we do are a little bit older, but this one peaked in 2009.
Which, like, I remember 2009.
Very
know?
Well.
Yeah. This one is actually described explicitly as a micro genre, which I feel like even if we get these very niche genres on some weeks, they're not usually called micro genres explicitly.
Not that we've seen, no.
Yeah. So really, really limited. And if this peaked in like the summer of 2009,
yes.
as it appears to have, then you can understand why it's called a micro genre because it was like 3 months of popularity, I guess.
Well, what does it sound like? Let's talk about that first.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, it's dreamy. Has sort of a retro pop sound. So that means that it is mostly electronically produced, but it features the sounds of vintage synthesizers. So kind of capitalizing on that 1980s synth sound.
Okay.
And one example of a 1980s synth sound would be like the Stranger Things theme song.
I was just going to say it. When you said 1980s synths, all I think about is the Stranger Theme soundtrack.
Or speaking of our salad spinner this week, like video game soundtracks.
Yeah,
were
also
a lot of
true.
80s synths. So analog synths, as we call them, before they became digital.
Can we play like 10 seconds of the Stranger Things? I keep saying Stranger
Themes.
Stranger Things theme song.
Yeah.
In case people don't know.
So here's an example of those synths. This is not a chill wave song,
no.
but. You know,
if you are looking for the synths,
here
are the synths.
Yeah, so it features those types of sounds, and a blogger even described some of these indie chillwave bands as sounding like incidental music from 80s VHS tapes.
That's great. So, big acts in chillwave.
Yeah.
We've got Neon Indian.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Washed Out.
Yep.
We've got Toro y Moi.
Great.
Do you know any of these acts?
Only now because we listened to an example.
Yeah, that's pretty much it too. Yeah, I would not have been able to pick out in a lineup if you were like, which one of these songs is chill wave?
Yeah.
I would not have been able to pick one out.
No. But if you're familiar with the TV show Portlandia.
And who isn't?
Its theme song is by the band Washed Out. It's from 2009 and it's called Feel It All Around. And that's a pretty iconic chillwave song. It does have lyrics. I don't think they use the section with lyrics in the theme song.
Yeah, they don't.
But they're there. A lot of these songs are pretty lengthy, it seems, and pretty repetitive, and they have sort of like a soundscape effect to them. So it's music that you're meant to just kind of lounge and listen to, and they're very much like psychedelic, dreamy, about themes that relate to the beach or summer. And that was one of the reasons that the summer of 2009 was called the summer of chillwave.
Yeah, I love that they're specifically about beach or summer.
Yeah, that's, surfing too, I guess, is a theme.
Yeah, it's so specific. It's very much like surf rock, which like
right.
obviously was about surfing, but also had the same like beachy, summery feeling. But it wasn't necessarily about relaxing.
No, I think that's the main difference.
Yeah.
Surf rock gets you pumped up and excited, or gives you like the feeling of running around, playing on the beach or surfing in the water.
Yeah.
And this is more about the lounging around on the beach.
Yeah. If like the Beach Boys are about like running down the boardwalk in your short shorts, then Chill Wave and Washed Out is about lounging by the lake house that you rented with your college friends drinking a LaCroix.
Ooh, LaCroix.
You know?
Nice.
Can I read you some lyrics?
Yeah, read you some lyrics.
So this is from the Washed Out, Feel It All Around song, the Portlandia theme song, in other words. And here it is. You feel it all around yourself. You know it's yours and no one else. You feel the thought of love again. It's all right. In spite of all the things you did, we'll work it out. That's the whole song.
Those are all the lyrics.
Those are all of the lyrics.
Wow.
Not explicitly about summer, but very kind of vague.
Yep.
And relaxing, you know, it's talking about there's a memory being evoked, or nostalgia
yes.
being evoked. You feel it all around yourself. It's all right, we'll work it out. The thought of love again, I don't know, it's like a little bit melancholy, but in the way that kind of feels nice.
Yeah, a happy nostalgia.
Sure.
Cool. I think we can do that. I also want to just mention, we mentioned the summer of chillwave in 2009, but why this is sort of considered a micro genre and why it didn't really last past the summer of 2009.
Yeah.
In its earliest stages, chillwave, before the term chillwave was coined, was described as shoegaze or dream pop or ambient or indietronica. So it was kind of unplaceable, but could be shoehorned into these other genres that were a little bit bigger at the time. I guess the godfather of chillwave is an artist named Ariel Pink, and his music was described as 70s radio rock and 80s new wave as if heard through a defective transistor radio. Glimmers of melody flickering in and out of the fog. So once the term chillwave was coined around this person's music, and artists wanted to, you know, represent themselves in this style, the summer of 2009 came along. These songs got popular, especially with Feel It All Around by Washed Out. And then artists started to understand that this music was pretty easy to produce, meaning all of the synthesizer sounds could be done electronically. You didn't need to have a band.
Sure.
The vocals are minimal
and
repetitive, and you can sing them in a very, like, laid back, dreamy, washed out kind of style. So you don't need to do a lot of production on it. And you can kind of crank the songs out because they are lingering and atmospheric. So after the summer 2009, there was just this crazy oversaturation in the chill wave market, and no one was interested in it anymore, and the genre died out.
Ah, I see.
So we are going to contribute to that oversaturation.
Excellent. I love it. No, but now it's been 9 years. Wow. So maybe now it'll be cool again if we bring it back, ironically, you know?
This coming summer is going to be the 10-year anniversary of the summer of chill wave.
To do a whole festival.
Oh my god, chill fest.
Chill fest. So we've heard the synths through the Stranger Things theme song. We've heard the actual chill wave musics in the Portlandia theme song. But like, let's pick one that's not a theme song and dissect that a little bit. Let's do Neon Indian something. What by Neon Indian?
Let's go with Deadbeat Summer, because it's about the summer.
Great, perfect.
And when you're listening to it, you can listen for those synthesizer sounds. You can listen for that spacey, reverb-washed vocal sound. And just like the laid-back tempo, the laid-back vibe that makes it feel like a relaxing song.
And the lyrics kind of low in the mix, because they're not intended to come forward and be the thing that you're listening to. They're almost there as another element of texture in the song.
Here it is. There it was.
Great. So we've got our genre.
We are doing a chill wave song, but what's it going to be about?
I don't know. You have to make a video game noise to find out.
Okay, here goes. Hey!
Please explain.
If I'm remembering correctly, in Legend of Zelda, there is a little fairy that like follows you around and gives you advice. And when it wants to tell you something, it very annoyingly repeats, hey!
It's like a little brother or sister.
Yeah.
That just wants your attention.
Hey!
Great.
Spin.
Our topic this week is
the Fairy Lake Botanical Garden.
Ooh.
So you can come chill out and listen to your chill wave music at this botanical garden.
That sounds lovely,
and
honestly.
About this botanical garden.
Yeah, it'll be very meta.
Ooh, I like that.
The Fairy Lake Botanical Garden is in China.
Nice.
It's in Shenzhen, Guangdong, southwest China.
I like how you put a period after each of those as if it was the location. Just, it's in Shenzhen, in Guangdong, in southwest China.
I don't know. I'm just pausing in case any of those places mean something.
Not to me.
To our listeners. I know. Not very well versed in Chinese geography.
I've never heard of this place.
No, but let's learn about it.
So it's obviously a tourist attraction. It's a place for people to come and look at the various, you know, what is it called? Horticulture?
Yeah.
That this garden has to offer. And it's divided up into 12 themed gardens.
That's fun. So some of the themed gardens include a bamboo garden, a peach garden,
a bonsai garden.
My favorite garden name, can you guess?
The Shade Tolerance Garden?
Indeed it is. It's the Shade Tolerance Garden. Shade tolerance is a plant's ability to still thrive in low light. So I guess it's just kind of dark over there. That's where they put all those plants.
It's also a drag queen's tolerance for insults.
It's a challenge on RuPaul's Drag Race. Yes. What's your shade tolerance? Exactly.
The place seems huge.
Yeah, there's actually over 2 million people each year visit it.
Yeah.
Which seems crazy. That's a lot of people for a botanical garden.
Founded and operated by the Shenzhen government, opened in 1983, and it's on about 1,300 acres of property.
Wow.
Now, this is a national 4A level tourist site. Have you heard of tourist sites being rated like this?
I have not.
Apparently, this is a thing throughout China where there is a China National Tourism Administration that gives any, like, sight to see in the country a rating, and the rating varies from 1A, which is the lowest, up to 5A, which is the highest.
Wow.
And this is 4A, so doing pretty well. And those standards are set by the safety of the site.
Wait, really? That's it?
The cleanliness and sanitation of the site.
Okay.
Transportation, like how easy it is to get there and what's around it, like shopping and dining. And also by the number of visitors each year. So I think there are minimum numbers of visitors per year set to like continue your 4A rating or continue your 5A rating.
So the
fact that 2 million people each year come to this place definitely contributes to the fact that it's got this high level of a tourist rating. And I tried to find 1A rated tourist attractions in China, but I can't. They don't like to advertise those on the internet, I guess.
Yeah, I want to know what the like giant ball of twine Chinese equivalent is, the roadside attraction,
right?
World's biggest spatula or whatever.
Or the least safe tourist attraction.
Well, I wonder, okay, like let's think about like the Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
Does it rate super high because it's amazing, or does it rate low because you can fall off it?
Probably rates super high because of the number of people that go.
Yeah, probably. That's true.
But, you know, the Shenzhen Rickety Rope Bridge is probably 1A.
The Rickety Rope Bridge. If you look at pictures of Fairy Lake, it's really stunningly beautiful.
It is beautiful.
So it's this kind of like mountainous area around what's actually a man-made lake. And there's this kind of big visitor center that looks sort of like a lodge kind of like halfway up the mountain that overlooks the lake. And then there are various different little forested areas and then also greenhouses where you'll see things like a sea of those little cushion-like cacti in the greenhouse. And it's really lush and beautiful, and there's lots of cool old looking stone bridges to get across different parts of the lake and stuff.
It looks like you can swim in the lake, so kind of beachy.
Oh, hey,
connecting with Chill Wave. And there's a Buddhist temple called Hongfa Temple.
Oh, nice.
If you know, if you need that as part of your like botanical garden experience,
gots to get some meditation in while you're strolling the gardens.
Is it frowned upon for Buddhist monks to listen to Chill Wave when they meditate?
I have no way of knowing this.
Tweet at us if you know the answer. All right. Do you think you can turn this into lyrics and a subject for a Chill Wave song?
Oh, defo. Like this, I feel like this really is a nice parallel to what we've learned about Chill Wave. A place that is serene, that you might have gone in your youth and made a lot of memories there.
Oh, yeah, so that's a good point.
Yeah, you could be nostalgic about it.
Gotta get back to Fairy Lake.
Yeah, gotta get back to Fairy Lake. It's the climate there is like fairly tropical-ish.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's warm for like 3/4 of the year there, actually. So that also contributes to the feeling of it being like a warm, relaxing, summery place.
Cool.
So I think the connections are there. We'll just have to figure out how.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to look through my arsenal of synthesizers and find stuff that sounds like those 1980s analog synths and start layering sort of a mellow soundscape of synthesizers and find a sort of relaxed beat to put under it. And that'll be the music bed, which then we can put the vocals from your lyrics over top.
Cool. I'm going to go read more lyrics and just see if there are any other common themes or a sort of like vocabulary or common way that the songs are structured, and then I will report back.
Tasks assigned.
Let's do it.
Onward. What you got?
Lyrics.
Oh, hey.
I started looking up just a bunch of different lyrics from the top three Chill Wave bands. I'm saying top three based on Last FM does like number of lookups and plays.
Oh, okay.
So if you go to Last FM, you can kind of see how certain artists rank. We're talking about Washed Out. We're talking about Neon Indian. And we're talking about Toro y Moi.
We're talking about them.
And amongst all of them, definitely lots of explicit summer references.
Explicit?
Well, I mean, they're explicitly about summer. Oh. Is what, no, I don't mean, I don't mean like fucking on the beach or like whatever. I mean, they're like, they talk literally about summer.
Gotcha.
Then there's also a lot of alluding to things being summery.
Okay.
So just like talking about markers of the season, like the heat or the sun.
Or corn dogs.
Yeah, you know.
Ice cream.
Just a lot of snow cones. Itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikinis.
Slip and slides.
Yeah, you know.
Barbecues.
Signposts of summer.
Yes.
And then, but no discernible common structure between all the songs.
Okay.
Some of them appear to have a repeating chorus. Some of them don't. Some of them have a really regular rhyme scheme. Some of them don't. So I didn't take too much away from that there is like a common structure. I don't think there is.
Sure. Musically, I think that's true too.
Yeah. It seems like it.
You could have a verse chorus structure. You could just have sort of ambient tones flowing along with your lyrics over top.
I want to talk about Toro y Moi for a moment.
Yeah, we haven't really done any research into them or listened to examples from them. So yeah. Who are they?
So Toro y Moi is one person. His name is Chaz Bundick, and he is from South Carolina.
Do you think the moi refers to himself?
I mean, I guess so. So it's Toro, which I guess is like bull, right?
Or isn't it also like really expensive sushi?
Yes, but like y moi is, well, like
sushi and me.
Sushi and me. Sure.
E is Spanish for and.
Yeah, and moi is French for me. I don't know. It's like a lot of stuff going on. Anyway, his chill wave album in the summer of 2009 was called Causers of This. And I just really like the way this music journalist who's talking about this album describes it, because I think it's a good encapsulation of the genre as a whole. And so if you'll bear with me, I would like to read you his really adjective heavy description.
I'll bear with you.
Thanks. So this is Sam Richards, who is reviewing Toro y Moi in The Guardian. He says, when Chaz's, that's the guy's name, when Chaz's blissed out nuggets of naive, tropical tinged nostalgia began appearing on hip hop music blogs in the summer of 2009, they triggered an online avalanche of similarly sun damaged lo-fi pop.
Wow.
I love that.
What a picture he's painted in words.
Yeah. So we've got blissed out, we've got naive, tropical tinged nostalgia, sun damaged lo-fi pop.
Don't forget nuggets.
Nuggets. I never forget nuggets. Are you kidding me?
Summer nuggets.
Yeah. So
summer nuggets. Having a blast. Doo-doo.
Summer nuggets. Ate them so fast.
Met a girl with ketchup on her face.
Met a boy.
Eating nuggets.
Eating a race. I don't know.
You couldn't nuggets. Come up with one rhyme for face related to nuggets.
You didn't even try to come up with a rhyme. You just were like, catch up on a face.
I'm looking at the lyricist over here.
You painted me into an impossible corner.
Yes, impossible.
Impossible. Nothing rhymes with face.
Continue, please.
So anyway, but I just thought that the like idea of a song being tropical and sun damaged was really evocative. Yeah. So I really liked that.
Like, you know, when beach furniture is all like weather worn.
Yeah.
You know?
And faded.
Smooth. Like driftwood.
Okay.
I'm into it.
Calm down. So anyway, I took that as inspiration for my lyrics. And what I have written for you today, what I've prepared for you today,
okay,
is two verses with a fairly regular rhyme scheme, though there is some slant rhyme in there, which I'll point out.
Ooh.
And then in between the two verses, not even like a real, not a true chorus, I would say, but just kind of a little bit of a lyrical interlude, I guess.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah.
Why don't you read your lyrics and then I'll talk about my music.
Sounds good. Here we go. Hot wind in the palms, I forget where I am. Since you've been gone, my life is a sham. But I can still get close to what we were when I'm strolling through bonsais and fir.
Ooh.
Here's the little interlude. Peaches and blooms, cacti and shrooms. Gymnosperms on your terms.
Wow, you got the word gymnosperms in a chill wave song.
I did. And then the second verse. If we could go back to summers before, take the kayak and lose sight of the shore. Didn't know you could burn bridges made of stone, but I'm back at Fairy Lake all alone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So that last little couplet there, burn bridges of stone, back at Fairy Lake all alone, obviously playing on the burning bridges idea, like don't burn your bridges, but all the bridges that we saw at Fairy Lake were made of stone. So I thought that was kind of cute.
It's poetic.
Gymnosperm means naked seed.
Oh.
And it refers to like conifers and other trees that have pine cones.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
So those are all gymnosperms, and they have a separate like themed area of Fairy Lake where there are gymnosperms.
Cool.
I don't know about mushrooms, but they do have cactuses and peaches also in different areas.
I would assume you're bound to find some mushrooms in the shade tolerance garden.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And then just to point out a little slant rhyme here. This is a pretty regular song. As far as rhyming goes, I would say the scheme is pretty much A, B, A, B, C, C.
Okay.
So hot wind in the palms, I forget where I am. Since you've been gone, my life is a sham. So that's A, B, A, B. Palms and gone are clearly, they don't really rhyme.
Sure.
But they sort of rhyme. And especially if you're singing them kind of in this lackadaisical sort of way where you're not really enunciating clearly and your voice is just another textural element. I think they rhyme close enough.
God.
Yeah,
yep.
It's the same.
Just like that.
It's the same vowel-ish.
It is.
Yeah.
Cool.
So those are my lyrics.
Very nice. Very evocative, beachy, on theme.
Thank you.
Well done. Well, I need to figure out how to layer those on top of the synthesizers I put together.
Yeah, tell me about them.
I've got a couple different layers going on. I've got a synth bass, and it is like an 80s style synth bass that sounds like this. That's just the bass synth. I've got this sort of wash of a synthesizer chord happening in the background. We call that a synth pad.
Okay.
And that sounds like this.
And that's just a kind of like constant ambient sound.
Yes, exactly. Just to give it sort of a fullness.
Okay.
And a stillness to it, I think.
Ooh.
It also has that kind of like VHS tape background drone kind of feeling going on.
Yeah.
And I think it's no coincidence that a lot of this music was used for theme songs, you know?
Yeah, or I guess like that's true.
Just background music in general.
Yeah, if you want to check out our other thoughts on theme songs, you can listen to episode 106, which is Theme from Wingspan, where we write a TV TV theme song about a New Zealand
glider
organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
yeah. And then I've got a more sort of melodic or forward textured synthesizer sound that sounds like this. And that just kind of punctuates the beginning of sections and adds a little bit of a higher layer to things. And then finally, a analog drum machine. So in the 80s, in addition to these melodic synthesizers, they had synthesized drum sounds and drum beats. And that sounds like this. And vocally, you hear in a lot of these songs, even if it's a one-man band,
yeah.
The singer will layer themselves either singing the same part on top of itself to sound like more of a chorus effect, or a little bit of harmony in the vocal to sort of match the feeling of those synth harmonies that are happening. So I'm going to do a little bit of vocal harmony with myself and make it sound far away and dreamy.
Great. I did also notice that if you look at the top, again, on those last FM rankings, if you look at the top six chillwave artists, they're all men and they're all solo men. And then when you start getting into like 7 through 10 or 12 or so of the most popular, then you start to get some like duos or like people that are actually like playing live, and also women vocalists or band members.
All right. Creeping into the top 10.
Good job, ladies. The top three chillwave artists, at least, are all single people who are doing all of this by themselves, just with synthesizers and sounds in almost exactly the way that Scott is doing it right now.
So I need a chillwave like band name to make it sound like it's more than just me.
I think you do. I think you need a band name.
So let's come up with a band name and a title for our song and then let her rip.
Should your band name be Gymnosperm?
Well, I do want it to sound like more than one person, so let's call it like the Gymnosperms.
Great. I love it. The Gymnosperms. So yeah.
And then now, title.
Yeah, we need a title.
Your The Bridges Made of Stone line sticks out to me for a title.
Didn't know you could burn bridges made of stone, but I'm back at Fairy Lake all alone.
Okay. And an earlier line, too, stuck out to me. Cacti and shrooms.
Cacti and shrooms.
But reflecting on other chillwave artists' titles, maybe it should be something a little bit more vague and
it's they're more evocative of the atmosphere of the song than they are of like the actual lyric, it seems.
Sure. So what do you think?
What if it was like lake loss, or like lost lake. Or the garden of loss?
Ooh. I think that's so deep we have to do it.
All right, the garden of loss then.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm ready. Let's do it. Here is The Garden of Loss.
A chillwave song.
By the Gymnosperms.
About Fairy Lake Botanical Garden in China.
By Shannon and Scott. Well, we made a chillwave song about Fairy Lake Botanical Garden.
I think it sounds really like in the world of chillwave.
I think so, too. And I think a lot of the credit for that goes to the synthesizers themselves.
Yeah.
And to the vocal production and the effects on the vocals. You know, we created that song in how long? 20 minutes?
Yeah.
So you know, I guess that is a testament to the fact, as we pointed out earlier, that it's a pretty easily reproduced genre of music. And that's why the market got oversaturated after that summer of chill wave in 2009.
Oh, you just pulled back the curtain on how little work we do. That's not good.
But we have to do it every week in different genres. It's not like we're just doing chill wave all the time.
Yeah, sometimes we get like opera and then all bets are off.
Right.
At the end, we decided to kind of like repeat and fade that little interlude part just to kind of give it...
the peaches and cream part.
Peaches and cream?
Oh, sorry. Peaches and blooms.
peaches and cream.
Cacti and...
dream?
Cacti and dreams.
Yeah. Yeah, just to give it... just to round out the song a little bit more.
Yeah, it felt right structurally. But other than that, we... I think we were pretty successful in achieving what we set out to.
Amazingly.
And if you like that song, you might like some of our back catalog.
Yeah, please go check us out. You can find everything we've ever done on iTunes or Stitcher or Overcast or Google Play. Pretty much any podcatcher will get you to your song salads these days. You can also browse our website, songsaladpodcast.com.
.com
to get links to all those different places. Also, our merch is up.
Hey.
It looks great. We're partnering with TeePublic on that. And our logo and album artist, Kayla Wassel. So you can see our album art as well as an additional just text only design. And you can put it on pretty much anything your little heart desires.
Yeah.
Go get yourself a t-shirt.
Get our faces on stuff.
And don't throw darts at them.
I don't think they sell dartboards. We're safe.
Oh, good. We'd also like to thank Vince Colosimo, not only for his salad spinner suggestion this week, but also for putting together a fandom wiki site for Song Salad.
Yeah, it's so impressive.
It really is. All of our episodes are listed.
All the corresponding information about each episode is listed, too. Each topic, each genre, each salad spinner, who it came from, special notes that Vince took about each episode, like... for instance, this is the episode where Shannon and Scott lose the kazoo.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great trip down memory lane. He has also outlined where lyrics can go. So that's actually something that I can work on since I have almost all the lyrics categorized and organized. So we'll be filling that out. But if you want to check out the fandom wiki, you can, I guess, just go to the fandom site. It's fandom.wikia.com, and you can search for Song Salad.
Thank you, Vince.
Thank you.
You can find us on Twitter at Song Salad Cast, and we would love it if you rated and reviewed us on iTunes. It would be a great holiday gift to us.
One last reminder that we have a live show this Saturday.
Holy crap.
This Saturday. Are you ready, Scott?
No.
I know. It's been a busy couple weeks.
It's going to be great. I'm excited.
Yeah. The thing about not being ready for the live show is that it doesn't matter because there's no way to prepare.
Nope.
Because we don't know what genre or topic we're going to get from you, the audience.
So come see us at Rob Paravonian's Odd Rock Comedy Hour at QED Astoria in Queens. At 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, December 15th.
Tickets are $10. It's in the news and events section of our website if you want to find the link there. We'll remind you guys next week as well, but we're taking the week of American Christmas. I guess it's global Christmas. We're taking the week of Christmas off because we'll both be traveling and we'll be with family. Man. But we will be there on New Year's Eve.
We will.
With a very special guest episode.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too.
It's an exciting guest.
Yes.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
chill.
Peaches and blooms.
Mushrooms and dreams.
We are a mushroom hallucination. That's it. This whole podcast has just been you, listener, on a long trip.
One, two,
wake up! Three,
wake up!
Four.